the heavy, thick cream. Mm-hmm. And if you wanted to make whipped cream, you would pick this cream off and just beat it with a fork or something like that. Put a little sugar in it, and they would serve it over cake or ice cream or whatnot. Well, they call it whipped cream. Mm-hmm. But if you wanted to make butter, you would still let it stay there. Then you would get a churn with a lid. It would have a lid and a little thing you call a dasher. Uh-huh. It would have a little cross piece on the bottom of it. And you would have to sit there and churn for maybe 45 minutes or maybe an hour. Mm-hmm. And this cream would turn to thick butter on the top. Mm-hmm. Then you would take this butter out in a bowl or something, pour a little cold water on the butter to get all of the milk out of it, beat all of the milk out of it, then it would turn into just a solid mass like. Mm. Then they had a something they call a butter mold. You dip this butter mold in some hot water first, then dip it in some cold water, then that would put the butter in. Then that would make a round cake with a pretty little flower or something on the top of it. And you'd put it out there, and they would call that a pound of butter. They had each one, these molds would hold a pound, and then they had some smaller ones that would hold a half pound of butter. Mm-hmm.
What was your mother's most prized possession, do you know?
Well, she liked to sing, she liked to sew, she liked to cook, she liked to do a lot of little different things.
Did she have something that she owned that she prized the most?
Well, she had, at that time they had old pitchers and bowls, you know, you didn't have bathrooms and things. She had a great big old pitcher with a bowl in it, she had to fill up the water, and, you know, pour it in there. And, preaching to teachers, they use that for that. She prized that thing.
Mm. What about your father?
Well, he prized more books than whatnot than anything else.
Which adult did you admire most when you were a child? Was there one special adult that you...
Oh, I don't know. My father, I'd cry a week if I'd get into something. My mom would get after me about it. Then I'd cry. If he'd be gone off somewhere, gonna stay 2 or 3 days, I'd cry all that day. She'd try to think, I've got 2 or 3 whippings to be made hush. You can't do that. And when I would see him coming, oh, I'd have to tell him all about it. That was the only time. So I prized him more than any. And I had an aunt, Aunt Carrie, my mother's sister. I always wanted to be like Aunt Carrie.
Do you remember why?
Well, I just thought she was pretty. I liked the way she walked. I liked the way she talked. I liked the way she dressed. And I just liked the way she met people and did things like that. And I would like to be, I'd play Aunt Carrie.
This may be the same question, but was it an adult that you liked most when you were a child?
I liked her.
You liked her.
That's right.
Do you have...
And I liked my sister, Christina.
Uh-huh. Why did you like Considine?
Well, she would usually, when we would be out playing, I was always the standoffish. They always called me old redhead and all kinds of things. She was pretty. My sister Lily was pretty. And they said I was ugly. Considine would take up on me and all that.
Did you have red hair?
Well, my hair was red.
It really was?
It was red.
Well, seven, six. When did it start turning
black? I don't know, the older I get.
Mm-hmm. What were some of your happiest childhood moments, do you remember? Something that you especially liked?
I guess my happiest childhood moment, we had a babysitter. My mother would go off with my father to these meetings and everything, Miss Mary. I loved her better than I did my mama. She was our babysitter. And I just admired her till she got grown and married. When she married, I didn't know why. And she finally died. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to go to her funeral. And I never will forget they sang that song about Sister, thou art mild and lovely, gentle as the summer breeze, pleasant as the air of evening as it floats among the trees. And I said, oh, that sure did fit Miss Mabry. Mm-hmm. And I stopped calling Miss Mabry, and I did my real mom.
You were that close to her.
That's right.
When you were a child, do you remember how you felt about being black, or did you have any feelings about it at all?
I didn't have any feelings about it. It didn't make any difference. The only thing that when we really found out that we were black and showing up black, and why, when you grow up with children, it's just about the same. But when you get at least 10 years old, then you come to yourself, you wake up, and you say, why? They are different. Why?
Why?
Why are they riding the bus and I have to walk? Why did Miss Ellis had a washing machine? Mm. We had to rub our clothes like this. Why can she have a washing machine? First thing I do when I get married, I'm going to have a washing machine. And things like that. That was the only thing. I wondered, why was it so different until I actually learned about it? Because when we were growing up, it didn't hardly make any difference. You just shouldn't be one that's been enough.
Right.
Because we were all poor, and we all was just about the same at that time. Till you get 10 years old, when you wake up and learn right from wrong, and you start going one way and going another, then you'll understand why. And then you'll wonder, why I can't have these same things too. You could see the difference. You could see so much difference. That was the only thing I didn't ever. Oh, gracious, no, I never wished to be white.
I was going to say, when you were a child, how did you feel about white,
I felt the same thing about them that I felt about all my other playmates. It didn't make any difference. Because we mostly played with boys, and Lucy Ellis, Eunice, and girls like that, we played together. We wasn't anything like that brought up. Of course, we fall out just like sisters and brothers when they fall out and go to fight and do something, but in 2 minutes back, you were back together.
Right.
Because they would come to our house and sleep. We could go to their house and sleep. So what difference did it make?
And these were white children.
And the white children would all sit down to the table and eat together. Miss Ellis would give us butter biscuits just like she would her children.
Right.
Make you wash your hands and everything. Same thing. And so it didn't make too much difference until you come to yourself, you might say, and you find out that you were not the same.
When you continue to be older, you didn't see these people as much,
I
did
see
you?
Them
oh,
now.
You did. Oh, you did.
I still
but
see
did
them.
You still socialize with them in your teens and grandma?
Well, no.
Not the same way.
Not in the same way.
Right.
We know that they are the same ones we grew up with, and sometimes we would get together and laugh about some of the things that we did.
Right.
And all like that, but now they go that way and we go
yours.
That's
right.
Yes, I come in contact with them sometime now.
Being from the same
That's
town
right.
all this time, you
yes.
would. You told me yesterday that you would cry and cry about the tux, and you would cry until something. And when I played the tape back,
yes.
I couldn't understand what you
my
said.
My sister.
Yeah, I understood about the.
She was larger than I was.
Uh huh.
And my mama would make her little dresses and pleat them on, pleat them around the waist, and she would give them mine to make me look a little bit larger, I guess. I don't know why. And I wanted mine pleated too. So I would cry and cry. She said, now, why are you crying? She would put on both of the little dresses. She would buy enough cloth to make two dresses just alike. She would make them both, my sister Larry's and mine. But only difference, she would pleat Larry's and she would gather mine. And I thought the pleats was prettier than the gathers, so I'd cry about it.
But I listened to the tape and it said that you would cry and cry until something. I didn't catch the word.
Until Papa would come.
Until Papa would come. I guess that's what I didn't get. I knew it
was
something.
That was the only consolation I could get. Go sit on it and then put my head against it and then I'd stop.
I see. He made you feel good.
I guess so.
If you could have changed one thing about your life, what would it be?
Well, if I could change one thing about my life, I wouldn't have grown up in Oakway. I would have been somewhere else where there would have been better advantages. I feel that I have missed a lot of things by being in this surroundings. Probably if I had been somewhere, it would have been better schools, better education facilities, and better opportunities for black people. I would have been a different person.
So you feel like you would have preferred to have more education?
Yes,
more opportunities.
I do. More opportunities to do some of the things that I would like to have done, such as helping people. I wanted to be a nurse. Had all of my everything all ready to go to Grady Hospital in Atlanta. And my father told me, says, sister, he always called me sister, sister, I think you would make a better teacher than you would a nurse, because I was always afraid of blood, and I was afraid of bugs, and afraid, he said, now if you be a nurse, you're going to have to come in contact with some of these things that you don't, I like to be around. I didn't like to see suffering. I didn't like somebody to hurt their toe or we'd lead them on mama's arm, so we'd go lay down on mama's bed. Mama's bed would cure everything. So he told me when I was ready to make my decision for, you know, my career in life, he said, I think you would be a better teacher than you will a nurse. And he told me why. So I'm glad he did.
How long were you a teacher?
I taught school 36 years, hard labor. And I don't know how in the world I had all my children to taught school to. My doctor would ask me, how in the world you managed to have all these children while you were out of school?
And you had how many children?
Nine children, six girls and three boys.
And still you taught all those years, too?
That's right.
And where did you teach? What school?
Well, I taught first school. I taught at Oakway where I went to school. Mm-hmm. And some of the children I went to school with were still students there. And they wouldn't call me Miss Gideon or Miss Feather, they called me Miss Teacher.
Oh.
So I taught there in the summer. Then the next school I taught was in Westminster. Mm-hmm. I taught there. Till I got married. When I married, then I taught at Pleasant Hill, you know, how they had little schoolhouses. That's when these Rosenwald students came into being. And then I taught at Fairplay Oakway Elementary School, and that's where I retired from.
And what year did you retire?
In 1966. I've been retired now over 20 years.
Wow. Did you do anything, any other teaching since then, or did you, any other career?
No. When I retired, the superintendent said, told me one day, oh, Miss Childers called me on the telephone. We've been combing the woods trying to get somebody to do some substitute teaching and all like that. I said, Mr. Superintendent, with all respect to you, when I retired, I retired. So I did some tutoring at Westminster. They had some children there. Promotion was in danger. And so they needed somebody to tutor these children. And he told me, he said, I want you to go and tutor these children, Westminster. And I said, whatever you want me to do. Now, after school, I want you to come in 2 o'clock, maybe go to 4. So we have one teacher that's doing this, but she has more than she can have, so she needs another teacher. I said, well, now, I'm not going to promise you that I will do this, but I will do it until you find a permanent teacher that will do. I said, now, yes, I'm going to do. I went up there kind of early. They had a long table, had all the children around the table, the other children had gone. So when I walked in, a lot of the children was from my church, so they knew me. Oh, Miss Thelma, you going to help us? I said, oh, yes, yes. What in the world is your problem? I would go from one to the other, asking their problems, so they would tell me, oh, I'm having problems, so and so. So I took my seat down at the end of the table. After a while, this little teacher, she came. The children started talking. Well, everybody be quiet now. Be nice and quiet. We're going to have some help today. So you all, everybody be nice. Yes, and they said, oh, yeah, we're going to have some help. Yes, Miss Childress is coming to help. She still didn't recognize I was Miss Childress. So when I got up, I said, yes, I'm here, Miss Childress. And she looked at me. Oh, yes, well, just same as it's left. I didn't know you was going to be in the egg. So she told me. She said, you know, I was in Anderson. And I had my little boy, we sat down to a table down to Morrison somewhere in Anderson. And a nice lady, she didn't tell me whether this nice lady was black or white, so she said, a nice lady sat down beside my little boy. And you know how people talk to children, they say, oh, where are you from? What is your name? And where do you go to school? And he told him that he go to school in Westminster. And so she says, yes, I know her. Teacher in Westminster, and she didn't say whether this woman was black or white, but anyway, she said, and so when the superintendent told me that we was going to have some help today, I didn't know that she was, I added that to it, I said, a nigger. So the children laughed. When I said that,
I'm sure.
She still didn't look right, buddy. But anyway, we got along fine. But the only thing about it, we had to play little games and whatnot like that. And she would do it so different from, I said, wait a minute, our children are not, don't know how to do things like this, because most of the children that we had to tutor were black. So I said, now, if you want to get some action out of our children, you play some little game like a fruit basket. How do you play fruit basket? I said, everybody sit in a circle, and I'll come around and whisper and ask you what kind of fruit you want to be. You need to be an apple, an orange, a grape, or whatnot. And when the one that's up in the floor won't have enough chairs, have one chair, more, one person more than will have chairs, so they'll have to scramble to get in this chair. And when I say apple and orange change, well, if apple is here, orange change, they'll have to change places. And the one that's it, because the people try to sit in the chair. So I went around to them, what do you want to be? I'm going to be apple. I'll be an orange. I'll be grape. One little boy, you turn. I'll be red-eyed gravy. I said, okay. He thought I was going to say, now, red-eyed gravy, it's not a fruit. But I said, okay, you be red, I agree. So we got to play a little game and played in Jeff and Ryan. I said, all right, red, I agree, and blueberries change. And then he jumped up and everybody just laughed, you know, when he said he was red, I agree. He thought he was going to do something, you know, to throw me off to me. I just went along with it. I said, no, that's the way you have to teach our children.
Right. What year were you married, Mrs. Children?
I was married. Oh, Sunday in March. I think it's March 28th. 1928.
And where were you married?
At my father's home, because he didn't marry me. Reverend Bolton did that.
How long have you been living in this house?
Oh, in this house? Well,
that's all right.
I'll tell you about this. I was living out here in this house. And first when I married, my husband did not own a home. We was living on the rented home. So I said, now, I think there's a better way about it than this. I just don't see myself doing things that I can do for myself. You know, a lot of black men, I don't know why, but they still that way. They don't trust themselves. That's the only thing about it. They don't feel, I guess, they was under pressure. And one thing about it, as long as somebody else will do for anybody, they will just let them do it.
Right.
But now I feel like I can do things for myself as well as somebody else can do for me. So when we moved out to this house.
Next
moved
door?
Over here. Moved out of Westminster.
Out to
this house next door.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Joe Duncan's was owning that house.
Uh-huh.
And I had a lot of turkeys that I would sell to people for Thanksgiving and Christmas, making a little extra money. First piano I bought for my children to take music lessons and whatnot. I sold turkeys to sometimes I'd box them up and send them to all around all the states. And I got good money for that. So he began to get kind of jealous. I think I need to get some rent money out of this turkey. I said, now the next thing I'm going to buy, I said, Ben, who owns this little place? There was 14 acres out here. And there was an old mule used to come out there and eat. There wasn't no house here. This house wasn't here. So in 1930s, 40, must have been the latter part of 1930, about 40s or something. There was 14 acres. He found out who owned this, and he found out an old lady. Her husband had been married twice. He had a boy and a girl. She was a hottie. And this 14 acres fell to her, so she was beginning to get old and whatnot. So she told Ben, I'll sell you these 14 acres for $300. I said, well, suppose we buy it. Oh, we don't have any money to buy it. I had $60 in my pocket when we started building this house. There was a lot of trees down at the bottom here. All of this was just straw grown up, wasn't any farm on it, and just bushes and whatnot. Because she had been having it for years and years, and she didn't do anything about it. So I said, it's right here, close to town, close to the doctor, and close to this, that, and her. So we bought this. My husband at that time was a veteran, you know, World War I veteran. He was drawing a little check. So we started building this house. My father, Thomas Gideon, this lady's son, which was my father, he sawed down trees down there, carried them to the sawmill, and made the foundation for this same house and the framing part. So we racked up a little 6 rooms we had. 2 bedrooms, and this part here was kitchen, dining room, this living room. Right there where that part is, this room had 3 fireplaces, didn't have that back up. As my family grew, my children, I needed more space, so we started adding different rooms to it. And so must have been 1980, I went with a lady to Walhart. When I came back, we was coming up this road. We stopped up there. She went up there to get some food stamps or something. When we was coming back, I saw smoke coming out of the chimney. I said, oh my goodness, I believe this house is on fire. When I got up here, I opened the door, starting at the dining room to the telephone, and the smoke just knocked me back, and I thought it was too much. I didn't have any of this furniture. So I picked up a chair, carried it out across there, and said, you know, not in the cold, and it's sorry.
I'm
not fire. Came back and got another chair. I'm just sitting there waiting for it to move. Lulu Bell, my sister, she went down to this next house and called the fire department. When they came back, now the fire didn't do too much damage, but when they came, it was the smoke and the water that they did. Oh, this is see that picture hanging over there?
Yeah.
My son brought it here from, that's Mount Muji.
Okinawa.
So it fell down, was broken glass, and the water just you pick it up, you can hold it in one hand. It's silk and it's thin. And some of that you see look like pretty clouds up over that mountain top. That's the dirt.
Oh.
Mr. Hallam's refrained it for me. I was afraid to unfold it for that tag up. But anyway, I said, can you put my picture back together? So he put it on a frame. And he's real tall. So when he came to hang the picture, I said, hang the picture on the level with the eye. So he's tall, you see, so he hung it on the picture pin on the level with his eye. Right. But it's about 2 inches too high. But anyway, I let you stand.
Ms. Childers, is there anything else you want to share with us or tell us that you remember?
Well, I'm sorry that I couldn't have been more cooperative.
Oh, you're very cooperative. Don't feel
well,
that way.
Anyway, I'm sorry that there was such scattering remarks and it may not be exactly what you wanted.
Oh.
But anyway, I have enjoyed it. I told Hazel this morning, I said, well, the lady's coming to in a few minutes. Yeah, you seem to be enjoying it. I said, no, not exactly, but I did enjoy it, but I wish I had been more cooperative. And I certainly am sorry that we didn't have more that I could bring up. And we need to bring some of these things. And then I get to thinking about it in another way. Some of these things we'd rather not talk about.
You'd rather not talk.
Yes,
right.
It's not as pleasant as I would like for it to have been in the past. But anyway, I'm thankful that I was able to do this.
Well, Ms. Childers, we thank you, and we've learned a lot. I can tell you right off, I haven't listened to this last hour, but I know we have learned so much, and I want to thank you again for spending your time with us, and we appreciate it a lot, and I do want to have Ms. Anna read or whoever come and get some of these pictures that you have, especially this one of
oh yes, well I'll get a
your grandmother.
Get your
things together, because I know someone will be coming by to look at some of these things because they're just very interesting. And
I'm sorry that we didn't save more of the things we could have saved, a lot of things that we didn't. Now my children would rather destroy all of that stuff and erase out the memory. Than to even have it. Because a lot of things I call my treasures, they call it junk. The start of a lot of my things, especially Hazel, she'll throw it out in a minute.
Well, listen,
I can understand it, though. I can understand
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, there's some things you have to get rid
it's
of.
Not,
even,
well,
people
even
feel different.
That, it's not, these memories are not all of that pleasant, because I can say for myself that as hard as it was for me to come up through, there were some people who had it much worse. I realized that. Yes.
Well, that's good of you to realize that there's always someone.
Oh, yes, else. There's always somebody much worse.
Right. Well, thank you. I've enjoyed all of it, and I hope to see you again soon, and I'm going to take this back and share it.
Oh,
thank you so much.